الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. فنواصل بإذن الله تعالى
إن شاء الله. Today we will continue. The book of Fiqh al-Sunnah by Sheikh Said Sabiq. And last time we were discussing divorce due to some defects in either husband or the wife. The word fasch means cancellation, and it's not a real divorce. And the cancellation is different. The cancellation is different before and after someone really marries his wife. And if someone really he touched his wife and they got together, he has to provide the dowry. If he did not touch her, if they did not get together in any way, the dowry has to go back to him. She does not deserve it then. And if he paid that in advance, if he paid the dowry in advance, he will have to ask her afterwards for the dowry, to give him the dowry back. And the cancellation of marriage, the fasch, which is the cancellation, could not be done by someone's will, either the wife or the husband. They have to ask the court. They have to submit a plea to the court, or have a case in the court, and the judge will have to decide who has to get the dowry and who has the right to get that, and who does not have the right to get that, who keeps it, who does not keep it. شيخ يعني ايه راجعها؟
راجع يعني في حالة الطلاق، واحد تطلق من بعض الطلقة الأولى الثانية، ممكن يراجعها يقولها راجع كوفي.
Okay. If the husband divorced his wife, just one divorce, he said. If he divorced her once or twice, he can get her back. He would said Raja Tuki, I want you back, and he will get her back. And he can, when he gets her back, he does not need a dowry, he does not need witnesses, he does not need anyone to get her back. This is in the Adda time, and this is in the Adda time after the divorce. But after the divorce, after the cancellation, he cannot get back to her just like that. But he can get back to her as a new, like a new husband or a new bridegroom, like a new groom, and he can just propose marriage to her again if he cancelled. Some of some of our scholars said that either husband or wife, some of our scholars say if either party sees a defect in the husband or the wife, either one can ask for divorce. Some other group of scholars say defects are not enough. They are not a real reason, or they are not enough or strong enough for either one to ask for divorce. And the third party said, when the wife and the husband got married as a bride and groom, and one of them did not know about the defects in the other one, and before they get married and after they got married to each other, he knew about it. He or she knew about the defects in the other party, and in that case, it's a very strong case, or she will have to ask for divorce because she found out about the defects in her or in him, or he will have to ask for divorce because he found some defects that he did not know about before marriage, and he knew about those defects after marriage, so he will have to ask for divorce. And sometimes the family says to the groom, for example, your bride is tall, and they describe her in such a way that she is not, and that way they are deceiving him. And after marriage, he finds out that she is not what they said she was. And sometimes a bride, the family said to a bride, you will marry this guy, and his characteristics, his traits are such and such, and then they deceive her, and in that case, this is an example. She will have to, one of her rights, to ask for divorce because she stipulated her marriage to this man on some stipulations or some conditions, and after marriage she found out that these are not there. So if she asks for it, it's her right to ask for divorce. And some of the scholars they said that the four major reasons for asking for divorce, craziness and al-juzam, and the juzam, the sheikh defines the juzam is like the limbs are being eaten away, and if there is leprosy, the leprosy is the third major reason, and the number four is like a disease in the bottom part, in the private part. So, and some of the scholars said that said these are the major reasons, but something like blindness, something like paralysis. Most of the scholars said that there is nothing is wrong with that. They can stay together, or this is not a big reason, or as big reason as the four ones that we mentioned before, such as the disease in the private part, or the craziness, or al-juzam, or leprosy. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim said that we have to look at even at the four at these four major reasons, these four major diseases, like leprosy. How big it is? How big it is? Is it like an inch? Is it like smaller than an inch? What is the size of that leprosy in the body? And it was reported from Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, that women would not be divorced except for these four major reasons that the Sheikh mentioned before. And Umar, when he mentioned the four, he was not only limiting these to four. The Sheikh says it's not limited to four, but he was giving an example of the biggest reasons among those reasons. And the author is Egyptian, and he tells us some of the laws in the Egyptian courts. And the Madhab al-Hanafi too. But he could have mentioned some other madhahib.
إذا كان العيب مستمكنا لا يمكن البرء منه.
طبعا
عندي الجزء الثاني صفحة 45.
وجدتها. جزاكم الله خير. 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 And the author says that the courts have been working according to these rules. In the law of one of the laws of the year of 1920 in Egypt, if it is proved to the woman that this disease cannot be treated, this disease like a disease in the disease in the bottom part or the private part that cannot be treated or cannot be and this disease causes such a big problem that they cannot get together, they cannot sleep together, how can they remain together? So the author says, if it is such a big disease like that, or if the disease could be cured in the long run, like 5 years or 10 years, or the man could find a disease in the woman or his wife that could be treated on the long run for 5 years or 10 years. And in the court, according to that law, they did not limit any diseases, or they did not limit any diseases to a number of them. They just let it open and said any disease, regardless of that disease, and the moment she or he knew about it, before they got married, or after they got married. In that case, they have to get separated. They have to get the divorce. And there is another case here that the Sheikh mentions about. If the wife did not know about the defect in the husband before the marriage and after marriage she found out about it, she will have to ask for divorce, and that's her right. But if before marriage she knew about the defect, it is not her right to ask for divorce, because she was okay with it, or she agreed with it. And agreement with it could be before the marriage or after the marriage. If she agreed with it before the marriage, and she accepted the husband that way, or after the marriage he told her, or she knew about it and she accepted the husband that way, she does not have the right to ask for divorce.
هنا ايه في الجرعة للعمل في المحاسم اعتبر التفريق في هذه الحالة طلاقا دائما يبقى عدوه طلاقا لم يعتبروه فسخا اعتبروه طلاقا
and in that case if they get divorced it's considered like a final divorce, they cannot get back to each other. Talaqan ba'inan is that they cannot get back to each other. It's not the first divorce, it's not the second call of divorce. It's a talaq ba'in, and talaq ba'in means that they cannot get back together. He cannot ask her to come back to him. So if it's a first call of divorce or second call of divorce, he can get her back. But if it's a talaq ba'in means he can never get her back. And here, the author says that before the judge could reach a judgment in that decision or an agreement or a jurisdiction, he has to ask the people of experience, like doctors, like reports, like stuff like that, and know for sure how the defect could affect either of them. And they also said, and in the Ahnaf, for the Ahnaf, they said that the woman can accept a marriage of a man without having a wali, without having a guardian, without having a father or a mother, you know, to accept the marriage from the groom. But they still give the guardian, even if they don't stipulate that a guardian should be there when she gets married. They said that the guardian can ask for divorce if he found out that there is a problem with the groom or a defect with the groom. He can always ask for divorce. And in the Hanaf trend too, they said that the father and the grandfather, they have the right to marry the young. They have to the right to marry the young to other people. I mean, and when the father or her uncle or her if her brother or her uncle married her to another person, and that person gave her a good dowry, but when she reached that age of marriage, she got married young, but when she reached that age of marriage, she has the right to ask for divorce if she finds that the husband is not um, is not um, good for her or not good enough for her. And we will talk about guardianship or later on in this book in detail.
شروطا اخرى لمباشره عقد الزواج رسميا من جهه اخرى نجملها في مجال اتماما للتالي. يعني يقول ان لو الان جاءت الى القاضي,
the author says if we come to the judge according to the personal or personal status laws according to Egypt laws, and most of the Arab countries they take laws from one another. If someone came to the judge and said to the judge, this is my wife, or a woman or a wife came or a husband came and they said that one of them has defects, the judge would never listen to them unless they have some papers, some credentials, deeds, like a marriage deed, to prove that they are married. Otherwise, he would not marry to them. He would not listen to them. And they stipulated a certain age for the bride and for the bride to get married. Before that, she cannot get married to someone. There is four parts of subject number 99 according to the law number 87 for the year of 1931. According to that law for that year,
على سنة 1911 ميلادية, سواء كانت مقامة من أحد الزوجين أم من غيرهما, إلا إذا كانت مؤجلة بأوراق خالية من شبهة التزوير.
They would never listen to anyone. They would never listen to a bride. They would never listen to a bride or a groom. Or the wife or the husband after marriage, about anything without his wife or a lady or a wife about her husband, unless she has credentials or like a marriage deed or the judge would never look at her and believe her. He would refrain from that unless she has some credentials, certified papers that said that she is married to him or he is married to her. And these happenings are old and they go back to the years of 1931 and 1910 and 1878, and back then they did not ask for papers or credentials or certified marriage contract or something like that. It was enough for them to have some witnesses that say that yes, he was her husband, or he is her husband, or she is his wife and stuff like that.
(Speaking in Hebrew) في الحوادث الواقعة من سنة 1911 إلا إذا كانت ثابتة بأوراق رسمية أو مكتوبة كلها بخط متوفى وعليها إمضاؤه كذلك.
After the year of 1911, according to that law, they would never look at anything or any plea or any after 1911 back in Egypt, they would never listen to anyone. The judge would never listen unless she has certified credentials, and these credentials, they contain the handwriting or the signature of the bride, of the wife and the husband. And if the wife is deceased, or the wife is deceased, or the husband was deceased, these papers, these credentials, they have to have the signatures of both of them.
And
from 1931, they said it has to be certified by the registrar, and it has to be certified and notarized and stuff like that. And the only reason that they stipulated that to be certified and notarized is that a lot of people would tamper with the papers, make them fake or counterfeit paperwork, and that's why they say notarized, and that's why they say certified. And there is explanation for whatever came before. The author says that that whatever we just mentioned just happens according to some place and some certain place and some certain time and some certain happenings or accidents and some certain people. It's tied to these people. It is stipulated with these people or according to these people. They are unique happenings. It's different than whatever happened the days of the Prophet, peace be upon him. The judge could be asked to judge or to have a judgment on something, on a certain place or a certain time, or a certain city or a certain place. And he could not judge anything else, or any other place, or any other for any other people, or any other place, or any other time. Sometimes the judge has to work in a certain place, in a certain time, and for certain people. And the Sharia rules. The guardian could ask the judge, the guardian could ask the judge to listen to some of the arguments and ask him not to listen to others, because he knows more about the case. He knows more about this and that in the case, and he knows what was going on around it, and the The fuqaha agreed to that, and it has been going on like this for a long time. And the people saw in these rules benefit to them. That's why they agreed to it, and these rules they were in place just because it protects the families, it protects the families and the secrets of the families and all the matters that have to do with that. Sometimes two people could get married orally, like he said, I am married to you, and she said, yes, I agree to that marriage, I am married to you, you are my husband, and she says, you are my she said, you are my husband, and he says, you are my wife. And after she gets pregnant, he can leave her and go away, because there is no paper that proves that they are married or they are husband and wife. And that's why we say that it's very important that we should have some credentials and some certified papers that prove that they are married to each other. And any husband can claim, any man can claim marriage to a woman for her wealth, or he can come to the judge and say, this is my wife because she's wealthy, or otherwise for other reasons, or maybe he has some bad reasons to do that. So the importance of credentials and marriage contracts are very important here. And sometimes one of them can get some papers, but these papers are handwritten or not certified, and when they work on it, trying to find out if it's a counterfeit or if it's a right one, the correct one. Sometimes it's very hard to find out. That's why judges and the fuqaha asked the people to certify their marriage deeds and marriage contracts, because people are sometimes they are psychologically weak, sometimes they are spiritually weak, and they are tended to tamper or counterfeit the marriage deeds. That's why it's a must. And for the people who get married, to certify it and notarize it, just to have it like as a legal document and a trustworthy document, trusted by everyone and accepted by everyone.
ومنعا لهذه المفاسد العديدة واحتراما لروابط الأسرة زيدت الفقرة الرابعة في المادة
الثانية. And according to all that we said, a fourth part in the subject and subject number 99 in that law was added, that after the year of 1931, that a judge would never listen to or never accept a case like a divorce case or something like that between a husband and a wife without them having like a marriage certificate or all the necessary paperwork that proves such a marriage.
يسمع دعوى أنه على الزوجية إذا كان سن الزوجة تقل عن 16 سنة هجرية أو سن الزوج تقل عن 18 سنة
هجرية. And there is a stipulation here. There is a stipulation here. There is a condition here to hear from the wife and to hear from the husband. They would listen to the wife. They would listen to the wife as long as her age is 16, and they would listen to the judge and would listen to the husband as long as he was 18 years of age. And before that law was there, before that law was there, they would not listen. They would not listen to the husband, or they would not listen to the wife. They would not look at their age. For example, if he was 17, if he was 17. If he was 17 and he came and he asked for, and he said that he was married, and he was married when he was 15. So this marriage happened before he's 18, even when he has a case and he's having a complaint or he's having a divorce case, he's less than 18. So there is age, the age of the wife and the age of the husband, the age of both of them when they get married, and the age of them when they go to the court and ask for divorce. If they get married, and the husband is less than 18, and the wife is less than the wife is less than 16, they would not listen to them. The judge would not listen to them because they got married before the legal age.
هو وقت الدعوة كان عمره 20، فكان عمره 20، فكان إيه تخطى سن 18، بس وقت الزواج كان عمره 15.
And if they got married, and by the time if they got married, and after like 3-4 years, if he's older than the time he got married, like when he got married when he was 15, and she got married when she was 14 or 13, and but after that, when they plead to the court, it was like 5 or 6 years after that, and they go to the judge and they try to have like a case, they would listen to them because now the time they have a case, now is the time, like they are legal now, they reached the legal age that they can have a case. He is after 18, or he's 20 now, and she is she's over 16, and he's over 18. So now the judge can listen to them. Otherwise, the judge would never listen to them if he is not 18 and if she's not 16.
الآن لو أن الآن شاب مثلا عمره 17 وجاء يدعي أنه كان متزوج بامرأة لما كان عمره 15.
Now there is an amendment to this law.
حسب القانون الجديد لأن عمره 17 لا
The amendment, after the amendment that we just mentioned, if the husband came and he has a case, and he is now 17, and he said, when I got married 2 years ago when I was 15, the judge would never listen to him. But if he came to the court and he wants to talk, if he wants to talk to the judge according to the new amendment in the law, he is now 20, and he said that I got married 15 years ago, and 15 years is not the legal. Is not the legal age for marriage, because we said for him it has to be 18 and for her it has to be 16, but now he is 20. If he's 20, the judge would listen to their case. But if he is 17 now, he is not even 18, and he got married at 15. So the judge would never listen to them. So it's very important that he is over 18 when he gets to the court, and when he gets his case, and he wants to discuss it, or he wants an answer to his case, or he wants a divorce, or she wants a divorce. They have to have reached the legal age by the time they go to the court.
سن الزوجة 16 سنة وسن الزوج 18 وقت العقد. يعني قال المئين في مادة 366 حدد سنا للزوج.
According to law number 366,
يعني الزواج رجل على امرأة وشاب على
they would never marry. They would never marry a man to a woman, or a wife to a husband, unless she is 16 and he is 18 or older. And there is some explanation for this age in particular. And one of the most important reasons that we have as an explanation for this. In Islam, we don't have a certain age for a man or for a woman to get married. Even and it was mentioned in the Quran that Allah said those who did not reach the age of puberty, this we mean by this time, the time that she had her menopause, or the time that she does not have her period anymore, or the time before she gets the puberty. Those who had menopause, that they have to wait for like 3 months, and those who did not get their period yet, or the did not reach the age of puberty yet. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he got married to one of his wives when she was 6, and he got together with her when she was 9. Peace be upon him. And it used to happen a long time ago that the father or the parent or the guardian would marry his son very young to a girl who is very young as well, or marry his girl, his daughter, which is very young, to another man who is very young as well. And when the Prophet got married to one of his wives at 6, and then they got together at 9. The Prophet at this time knew that she got her puberty, or that age is the age of puberty for her. Before we got these laws, the Islam did not, we did not have these stipulations. Islam does not stipulate these laws of 16 for the wife and 18 for the husband. So for the Islam, it's okay in Islam for the guardian or the parents to marry their daughters to someone that they agree upon or to marry their sons to other daughters or other girls without the stipulation of the age.
لحسن القيام بها ولا تستأهل الزوجة والزوج لذلك غالبا قبل سن الرشد المالي اللي هو ايه 21 سنة يعني سن الرشد المالي أكثر من سن البلوغ لأن الله تعالى قال ايه
There is another age here which is 21. This is 21 is the when they are financially able. They are financially able to get married. They are financially mature enough to get married. And Allah mentioned that in the Quran. So this stage or this age, which is 21, is above and beyond the physical maturity or the or puberty. So for a guardian or a parent or a father or parents, they would wait for their son to be financially mature, like this age 21, and then they don't give them all their money altogether. They just give them like $1,000 just to test him out, see how he would do with this $1,000, for example. See how he would deal with it. See how he would handle this $1,000. Would he spend them all, or would he use them wisely? Would he put this in something like a trade, or would he spend them all foolishly? This is the age Allah mentioned in the Quran, when they are financially mature to deal with money wisely, or to have the financial capacity or the financial mind to deal with trade and deal with money wisely, so they can keep it and not spend it all. And in the courts, they said that this financial maturity is the 21. Mali means the financial, and the court said the financial maturity is the 21 years of age.
وما يلزم بتأهل البنت للمعيشة الزوجية يتدارك في زمن أقل مما يلزم للصبي. في ناس حددوا 21 وفي ناس حددوا 18 سنة رشد المالي.
Some people or some scholars said that the age of financial maturity is 18, and some other people said the age of financial maturity is 21. Some scholars say that they have to get to 21 before they get married, and some scholars say 18 is the age when they get married.
للفتاة 18 وللفتاة 16. في هذا ايه وجهتهم في تحديد السن، يعني جعلوا البنت اقل
The scholars, the scholars said that that the wife has to, she has to be 16, and the husband has to be 18. They said that, and we can see that she is younger than the man. The wife is younger than the man. She's 16 and he's 18. And there is another law, this is law number 44 and for the year of
1933. متى ضبط عقد الزواج على اساس هذه الاصوات او الاوراق، يعني كل شاهد زور يعني راح شهد.
If there is if we have that case or if we have that situation when someone appeared before the court and he said that he tried to testify, he tried to say something that was not right, he tried to mislead the judge, and he was saying that yeah, I testified that this that when they got married when she was 16 and they got married when he was 18, this the brother asks what if they got married before the legal age according to the book here or according to the Egyptian laws, and the Sheikh answered that according to Islam we don't have a certain age, but if we going back to mention that law, this guy or this party who appeared before the law and they tried to deceive or mislead the court or the judge, saying that trying to give the wrong information, they would be imprisoned. The judge could imprison them or put them in jail for a period that does not go beyond 2 years, or a fine. He could get a fine that is not more than 200 pounds. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he told us not to say something that is not true, not to falsify the testimony. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he was talking to his companions, may Allah be pleased with them, peace be upon him, and he said, don't I tell you about something that there is one of some of the things that there is nothing more wrong about, and he said one of those or among them was to give the wrong information or testify with the wrong information, and this is qawl az-zur. Qawl az-zur means if you say something that is not true, especially for the courts or the judges trying to mislead them and deceive them.
فقال ويعاقب بالحبس او بغرامه لا تزيد على 200 لكل شخص خطر القانون سلطه تلقي عقد الزواج ويعلم ان احد طرفيه لم يبلغ السن المحدده في القانون.
And the law also punishes those registrars and those people who recorded marriages or who registered marriages, and they know for sure that they did not get the legal age, either for the husband or the wife. She has to be 16 at the time of her marriage and 18 at the time of his marriage. Generally, it's good for us that we get exposed to the rules in this book, and we, inshallah, we'll stop here, inshallah. And inshallah, next time we will talk about things that are forbidden from women, inshallah. Our brother here asks, he was asking about the word Al-Shara' al-Misri, the guy who puts some rules, the Egyptian guy who puts some rules. And in fact, we don't have anyone to put rules that we have to believe in except for Allah. We have to just, Al-Shara' means whoever applies the rules, and we only accept the rules from Allah, not from the guy who says that he's, this is the rules. But the only excuse for the author is that he copied that from the records of the records of the court and Egyptian court and stuff like that. صلى الله عليه وسلم